Welcome to another week of free basketball. The triangle is back together again, Cody and Daniel. Daniel, how are you doing tonight, sir? You've been a busy man.
I'm good. I'm busy. And I'm going to win whatever we have tonight. I'm winning. I don't even know what it is, but I'm ready to win.
You don't know anything, but you know that there is some sort of competition afoot. So yes. Maybe that you just tipped your hand that you do know something, which we'll find out later. Cody, are you excited for a potential surprise challenge that involves a monetary gift?
I'm very... Oh, a monetary gift? Is this legal? Am I going to be tried in a court of law for accepting? I don't know if I can try. So I guess I'm kind of excited. I'm a little bit nervous now too. I don't know. Monetary gift kind of sounds like we might be having to do some legal stuff there. I don't know. I feel like we might have to back alley some of this.
It is tax season, so you might have to write this off next year.
Gotta do it. Well, why are we talking about it here? This better be an all cash deal.
Great cash, homie.
So we are going to have some little fun challenge at the end. It's not going to be, maybe it might not be like super fun for anybody else. I don't know, but it'll be fun for us. But we're going to do a couple topics today because we are getting to All-Star break. But I did want to talk about All-Star game specifically because I think we got another week before that. So we'll save that for next week. But I do want to talk about some current topics that are going on and things that'll end this week. Hint, hint. But to start off, I do want to start off with the team. And I want to talk about the panic that is going on in Brooklyn right now and why everyone is completely freaking out. Since KD went out, I believe it was January 16th or whatever, they announced he had a sprained MCL or whatever it was. They have gone 2-9. And they have constantly been in the news for James Harden rumors for the past couple of days with the trade deadline coming up that the Sixers and the Nets were re-engaged. Steve Nash said to the reporters today that James Harden was absolutely not getting traded. Kyrie's starting to come back as this part-time player, but it hasn't really affected anything. Harden's missed a couple games with a tight hamstring or calf or whatever it is, something in his leg that always seems to be tight. So everyone is full on assault, freaking out about the Brooklyn Nets. Everybody's saying how they're in the play-in right now. They were the one seed. Now they're in the play-in. They could be out, blah, blah, blah. Daniel, is this panic founded or do you think it truly is what it is? Just panic.
No, I think there's a little bit behind it for the simple fact that KD is the reason they're good. Harden is he's fine. As we've seen when he's been in Houston, they're okay. He had to have Chris Paul to be able to win some playoff games. Kyrie has had to have LeBron, and Kyrie seems to just tear teams apart wherever he goes. So I think it's just KD that's really the guy who holds this team together. And so at the end of the day, I think a lot of this is kind of warranted because they're not as good because they're not deep. They have three max players. If you don't have one of them, you struggle because you're not that deep. If you don't have two of them, you really struggle. And Kyrie, he's just not what he used to be.
So let me ask you a follow-up question to that. If KD is what makes them good, and we know last year they were within a KD wrong size shoe of making the Eastern Conference Finals and potentially the finals, he's coming back, right?
Right, right.
So are we just panicking because he's out for another 2 weeks? Or will everything be fine when KD comes back?
It should, yes. But they also haven't played together much, if at all, hardly this year. So they still have to figure each other out, how they're going to play with each other. Because those three on the court, they're all ball dominant, and they all need the ball. So I think it's all up in the air. Like, they really could be awesome or they could just be a bunch of egos and not figure it out. At the end of the day, I do think that KD is the main reason they're good. So getting him back obviously is a plus, but at the end of the day, who knows how they're all going to coexist.
Cody, are you in the same kind of boat that there's actually something behind this panic, or do you think everything's actually fine? This is just one of those pre-All-Star things that we seem to do every year with a team who is a preseason favorite and was a preseason favorite last year. Is everything really going to be okay? Or is, like Daniel, there's something behind it?
I definitely think there's something behind it. I mean, like,
wow. Okay.
Think about all the stuff they like got rid of to bring in these guys. Like, think about what if they had just not gotten rid of Jared Allen and not taken on DeAndre Jordan and just Jared Allen, KD. Like, I feel like that team's like a lot better. I don't know. I just like, yeah. They got rid of a lot of stuff, and they have a bunch of guys that aren't playing a whole lot. Like,
well, what was
Kyrie's kind of a disaster, like the last like 4 years, right?
But Jared Allen was kind of the cost of doing business, right? Like it was,
yeah.
I get the deal to get KD and Kyrie,
right?
Harden was just an additional thing, but you're making a point about Kyrie. Maybe that was part of the deal. That maybe it wasn't DeAndre Jordan. Maybe it was the whole "I've got to be with Kyrie" thing,
right? Well, then, like, and with the James Harden stuff, like, what? Like, he completely quit on his, like, last team to get out of there. So,
after almost making the finals a couple of times, like, so, you know, like, having been a one man show for seven straight years for Houston. I'm going to immediately come back on this because I'm in the very opposite of panic. So this is 2-on-1 here, which I'm sure is Cody's favorite type of category to watch when he's by himself. But
definitely not the first time Ryan's been double teamed.
But I'm absolutely zero panic right now. And I can't explain why it is. I know KD's coming back. I know Joe Harris has had his complications and looks like he's going to be out for a while, maybe for the rest of the season. I don't know, but I'm still a firm believer in KD, Kyrie, and James Harden. And that's completely unfounded because they haven't done anything together. But Kyrie wasn't there last year with injury. James Harden was hobbled and barely could move against the team that won the NBA championship. And still, they were within a shoe size in an overtime where KD was just absolutely dead away from making the Eastern Conference Finals. So all of a sudden, I've got KD, who's had 8 weeks rest, coming back for the final 15 to 20 game stretch with Kyrie. They figure out that situation with him versus home and away. I don't know if they will. And James Harden, they seem like they're just kind of going all in with this rest everybody thing since KD's out. Let's not push Harden. Let's just kind of tread water. I mean, this is like one of the scariest potential seven seeds, I think, in the playoffs. And the thing is, I don't think they'll be a seven seed. The East is just so super close right now. I mean, they're five games out of first.
Can I ask
four and a half? They're 4.5 games out of first, and I'm supposed to freak out because they're 2-9. Teams go through these lulls all year, and I get it. Not having the second best player in the NBA, I'm saying that second best player in the NBA, number one, can be debatable. I'm definitely not picking Giannis. That's another conversation. To be 4.5 games out after just going 2-9, I'm not freaking out about this team at all.
Like, well, hold on a second. 2-9 is whatever. But let's look at, like, in what order that happened. They've lost 7 straight games. That's not treading water. That's drowning.
It's 8 straight games, actually. They lost today.
Yeah, that's 8 straight games. Like, what? So they lost one, they won two, and then they'd have just gotten the shit kicked out of them for 8 straight games. Like, that's not treading water at all.
They're still 4.5 games back. Like, I just don't.
Well, yeah, they I'm got not in this fall apart. Kevin Durant was playing. He's not playing now. They got Kyrie working full time.
But he will
come back. You and I work more than Kyrie works. Just having a full-time job.
He's getting paid $30 million to work 35 games.
Full-time?
Does he work 30 hours a week?
I don't think so.
It's probably more like 5.
Hey, Cody, 5 hours.
Brooklyn Nets.
Cody, you know what I'm taking out of this is that Ryan is either a really good swimmer, or if we're drowning, he's going to just let us tread water because he thinks we're doing okay. Like, we're doing okay. Like, don't throw us a life preserver.
Oh, those just, guys will be about to die. He's just going to look at us dying and go, those guys will be back for the playoffs.
Yeah. They're treading water. They're fine.
Yeah.
Give us a break, April. Dude. Throw them a life vest.
I appreciate the analogy. I'm just saying it would not shock me if this team was in the Eastern Conference Finals.
It wouldn't
after
shock
all that's gone on.
Eastern Conference would, Finals too, but I
then why are you anybody. Panicking? Then why are you panicking?
Why do you
think there's something
most
behind
of the time
this?
When I'm driving, I think I'm going to be fine, but if one of the wheels comes off my car, I'm going to panic a little bit until I get it stopped, right?
But you can get it fixed.
But yeah, I know I can get it fixed, but I'm going to freak the fuck out while the wheels are coming off.
Well, and we know that KD is coming back. So yes, they can be an Eastern Conference final easily.
Can we
but
also
that doesn't mean
about,
it's, they're going to get there.
Can we talk about the last time KD had like a kind of, you know, not a super bad injury, but he had some tightness in the old leg.
In the
and
old
then
calf.
The playoffs came around and he came back and then he tore his fucking Achilles. So like, I mean, he's a big guy, Jones fracture guy, I think, right?
I don't remember if he had a Jones fracture. Did he have one?
Foot there for a second.
I know Pau Gasol did.
Yep.
No, I just wanted to ask it because if you looked at NBA Twitter, the Nets are done. To NBA Twitter, they're done. And to me, it's not that dire. And it feels like a smoke and mirrors game to shield people from talking about the Lakers. like a team that is
the
also
Nets are
struggling.
Just the Lakers East.
That's a totally fair point. But they're trying to bury the Nets. And they're trying to cause all this internal turmoil. Harden's going to leave. You know, all this kind of stuff. Kyrie's only a part-time player. KD's injured. Look at this injury path.
Do you think the media is just making these storylines up and that those things aren't true?
I think they are over-sensationalizing them. Yes.
You know, what? Everybody is all over the Lakers. They're both in the play-in games right now. Both teams.
I know, but if you're talking about the Nets, have you seen a team this year who has struggled? The media has talked about how all of a sudden they're a play-in team and they could be out of the playoffs and they're going to trade one of their top two players panic-wise. Like, have you seen such – I know Lakers obviously gets a lot of attention, but have you seen that kind of public opinion against the Nets that it is? Like, it's all the time about the Nets. People today
– Well, yeah, why wouldn't it be?
But you see people today reminiscing about the time when they had D'Angelo Russell. Like, people wanted to go back to the good old days, quote unquote, when they were an 8 or 7.
Well, that's ridiculous. That's just trying to get tweets, though.
Right.
That's trying to go, who is this person?
That's why I wanted to talk about the panic because.
That's not panic, though. That's publicity.
That's Twitter.
That's publicly panicking to make it seem like it's a panic situation.
That's Twitter.
Like, you have people asking Steve Nash if they're going to trade James Harden.
And that's normal. Why wouldn't you?
It's a trade deadline.
Yes. Are we serious right now? Like, what do you want them to do?
Who weighs
not
more?
Talk?
Zion or
You're not
James
allowed to talk
Harden?
On Twitter? You need to get rid. You need to wash your people out of your Twitter, whoever you're following. You need to wash them out. If you're having, because yeah, I haven't seen KD, much
hey,
on
get
Nets,
all of
honestly.
KD's burner accounts out of your Twitter.
Yeah. Like, everybody's trading Russell Westbrook as well.
Yeah.
Like,
Russell
everybody.
Westbrook got traded 2 days into the season.
Yeah. So, no, I believe the Lakers are, they definitely are getting hit a lot harder than the Nets because, in the end of the day, KD's coming back and they know they'll still be good with or without Kyrie, with or without James Harden. Like, you can send Ben Simmons there. And they would still be really, really good as long as you have KD. I don't care who's on the team. KD's on the team. You're good.
Hey.
All right. Go ahead.
I do have a question about Ben Simmons.
On the
Bill Simmons podcast, they kind of like asked this, but they didn't really talk about it at all. It was one of those things where I just kind of thought, like, if you trade for Ben Simmons, does his mental health all of a sudden get better? Like, can he start showing up to practice immediately? Like, how long before you can involve him in things?
I don't know.
He's magically delicious.
Because you got to, you know, just like an injured body, an injured mind needs to be, you know, fixed up too. I don't think any of us have enough nuance to talk about something like that, but it just was an interesting thing to me. Like, if I just like said, you know, just, you know, at not, you know, not to downplay anything, but if I just like said to my boss, like, you know, I can't do X anymore because, you know, I just have the mental whatever. And then they're like, okay. And I was like, but I don't think I would have that if I could do the same thing that I was doing here, but in a different place.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to go down too much Ben Simmons. Maybe we can go down it if there's an actual trade that happens to it.
Harden and Simmons get traded.
Segue into the trade deadline is this Thursday, February 10th at 3 p.m. Eastern. Everybody's starting to gear up. We've had a couple little small moves. At least to me, they're small moves over the weekend. But I do want to get your opinions. I mean, there's been some little things, you know, like guys going to Denver and Cam Reddish going to the Knicks. We talked about that already on a previous pod. But the two that happened over the weekend that's getting everyone ramped up, that gets everybody excited for trade deadline, where they're going to have this huge explosive trade and it just never happens, right? The one that started it all was obviously the Blazers-Clippers trade. The Clippers got Norman Powell, Robert Covington. Blazers got Eric Bledsoe, Justice Winslow, Keon Johnson, and a 2025 second via the Pistons. And my initial reaction to this, and I'm going to ask you for yours, is who cares? I didn't think it was an incredible deal. Everyone was like, oh, the Blazers got fleeced. What are they doing? And I get it because of the names that were being flip-flopped and potential of how the Norm Powell, Robert Covington could help, quote unquote, the Blazers more than Eric Bledsoe and Justice Winslow and a rookie. But to me, it just wasn't that big of a deal. I don't think Norm Powell and Bob Covington are all of a sudden going to take the Clippers from a 7 or 8 seed to all of a sudden they're in the solid playoff picture. Do you have the same kind of feelings towards that, Cody, or do you think it's a bigger deal?
Nah, I kind of feel the same as you.
Daniel, would you agree? Is it because of Kawhi's not coming back? At least we assume. Paul George, we have no idea, but there has been clues that Paul George is not coming back. Is this really kind of like a tread water for this year? And they might even move these pieces again come summertime, or was it a bigger deal for you?
No, I think it was a big deal on Twitter because of the names. But realistically, if you look at the money, Robert Covington this is last year of his deal. So he's not going to be there when Kawhi is on the team. He's not. But also, you're bringing in somebody like Norm Powell, which is fine. But at the end of the day, you had an expiring with Eric Bledsoe. So pretty much you're, in a weird sense, you're replacing Eric Bledsoe with Norm Powell. That's fine at the end of the day. But you still have a problem with paying Luke Kennard $14 million a year. That's your issue. And you never can have a healthy team. You are paying Paul George and Kawhi Leonard both $40 million a year each. That is a bigger problem in the end of the day. So, yes, they can all be happy-go-lucky about it. And a lot of people are excited more about Robert Covington than anybody else. But at the end of the day, I don't think that Robert Covington sees the floor with Kawhi Leonard ever on this team. And so really, it's just Norm Powell. And if Kawhi can miraculously make Norm Powell good again, then that's fine, like he did in Toronto. But if he can't, he might just be average. And I think that's what Portland saw, that they're paying $20 million for an average player.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think Norm Powell's beyond average. You can get excited if he has a game or two or like a good week. But it would not surprise me if these players are moved again over the summer. And somebody's going to take them, or they could be moved again before the trade deadline. You have no idea. So it'd be interesting to see what they did with them. The other one was one that happened today, which same kind of reaction for me. I don't get why it's so exciting. But the Cleveland Cavaliers acquired Caris LeVert in a 2022 second via Miami from the Indiana Pacers for poor Ricky Rubio. Pour one out for old Ricky. Poor guy, just cannot catch a break. a 2022 lottery protected first.
That's the problem.
It's the problem. He does catch a lot of breaks in his feet and legs and stuff.
Yeah.
A 2022 lottery protected first, a 2022 second via the Rockets, which might be enticing to some people, and a 2027 second round via the Utah Jazz. Daniel, I'll start with you on this one. Same kind of reaction. This is blah. Or are you one of those Caris LeVert guys? There seems to be a very specific Caris LeVert hive that get really excited when they hear Caris' name mentioned and stuff.
Yeah, I think this is a win overall for Cleveland. They are coming off of a first-round pick. It is protected, obviously. And so if they get to the protections, then that's definitely a win.
Yeah, but that first could be mid to late teens. That's not a bad pick.
No, it's not. And so yes, I get all that completely. But I think that this team, this Cavaliers team, needs a player like Caris LeVert more than it needs a Ricky Rubio. And I get it. You know, Darius Garland.
Someone who can actually play and not just fill up their IR.
Well, Ricky Rubio has been good when he's been on the court this year.
Reinvigorated Kevin Love.
Yeah. And
he's been awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. So I hate that Ricky Rubio continues to get moved and moved and moved. But at the end of the day, I think Caris LeVert is a player that Cleveland can really help them in the playoffs compared to somebody Ricky Rubio. Because at the end of the day, you're going to play Darius Garland as much as possible. So I like this trade for him, and I think it only makes them better in the playoffs, and I think that's really what they were doing with this pick.
Cody, would you think that Indiana did pretty well in this scenario, considering what they got? Because it looks like they're in an obvious rebuild and one of the worst teams in the league, which no one expected. I think everyone thought they would be at least vying for a play-in spot, which I guess – if a miracle happened, it could happen, but it looks like they are taking a nosedive into the top of the lottery. I mean, you could have a mid to late teens first round pick. You could have a probably very early second round pick from the Rockets. Do you think the Pacers did well to get what they got for LeVert, who didn't kind of really fit the mix there? Kind of like an ISO shoot first guy, didn't really play team basketball.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. I like it more for the Cavs.
Okay, so you like it more for the Cavs.
I'm part of the Caris LeVert hive.
Okay, so what gets you excited about him being on the Cavs? Is it just because with Darius Garland, Okoro, Mobley,
some second unit, like some instant offense? Like you need a little shot in the arm. Like nothing, not much is happening. You need somebody that can create a shot for themselves. Just throw them out there, let them cook a little bit. And then you six man type of stuff. I feel like there's some potential for that there on that team.
You don't think he'll start for that team? Because my indication is that he'll start. I could be wrong.
I mean, he might. I feel like the perfect role for him is like as a six man, for as ball dominant as he is. But not being like Kevin Durant,
like
talent level. Like I think that like if he's like your sixth man, like kind of, like and can run your second unit, like and be kind of the guy with the second group, like I think you're in pretty good shape.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm interested to see if he's, because I feel like the past couple He'll stops. I mean, his stop was the Pacers, but it felt like he was involved in anything, you know, is that he doesn't want to be a bench guy anymore. So I'll be interested to see if
he'll definitely start.
The Cavs will try to push him to be a bench player, because I agree with you, Cody. He's more suited for that, but I think he's going to want to start.
Like when I think of Caris LeVert, like if I think of him on like a championship team, I think of him like as like if he's your sixth guy, like you can win a championship. If he's like one of your like,
it's wow, a big okay. statement. Yeah.
I just feel like, but I feel like if he's like one of your five guys, probably not. But if he's like running your second, if he's like a second unit guy and like situationally one of your crunch time guys, I think that's fine. I think that's okay.
But the Cleveland has been good with Seti Osman starting and, you know, Okoro, Alan Mobley, and Brandon Goodwin. Like, I think you easily can put in Caris LeVert there. They're so long with Alan and Mobley. What I would probably do is move either Okoro or Seti straight to the bench, and then that would allow you to put Caris LeVert next to Darius Garland and run them off of Allen and Mobley, and then you can pick, you know, who you want. I would probably pick Okoro there to start over Seti. And at the end of the day, they have Rondo coming off the bench as their veteran backup point guard. So that's why you move off of Rubio, is because you have Rondo, who at the end of the day, you need him to play 15 minutes in a playoff game and control the game when Darius is out. That's it.
Yeah, I think that's 100% what's going to happen. Instead, he's going to go back to bench because that's where he started at the beginning of the season. And that was kind of the fun thing about the Cavaliers to start. Like, they started three bigs and they were this jumbo starting lineup. And then the bench came in and it was Ricky Rubio, Seti, Kevin Love. So that kind of bolstered like a more complete team. So I think that makes sense. They're going to move Seti back to the bench where he started at and let him continue to cook from 3-point line as he has been. What seems like all season. Every time I feel like I'm seeing a Seti Osman highlight, he's like, oh, Seti just went on a run of 4 threes in a row. Like, that's the season he seems to be kind of having. So it makes sense for Karras to start, Seti go back to the lineup. I'm interested to see if they'll stay big with Lauri Markkanen instead of Okoro starting, or is Okoro going to be coming off the bench now? That's what I'm not sure with that. But I think it is interesting. I think the Pacers did well because I think this is an indication for the Pacers is that it's sell-off time. They're trying to get whatever they can to look for the future. I mean, we've already seen reports, which we know reports are reports. We just yelled at each other about panicking about the Nets over it, but that the Wizards were locked in on getting Sabonis. So it seems like Pacers and poor Rick Carlisle, actually not poor Rick Carlisle. It's kind of interesting. I'm not saying I'm happy it happened to Rick Carlisle, but I think it's funny after what happened with the Maverick situation. But anyways, is there a specific team that you're looking for besides the Pacers come in this trade deadline, Daniel, or you're just kind of waiting to see if anything actually happens?
Yeah, there's nobody I'm really waiting on except for the Lakers. I'm interested to see what they do, if they try to do any kind of moves. Their hands are pretty tied. But as you know, LeBron, you know, he tries to, you know, get them to do something to give him all the help he can possibly have. And they do not want to be with Russell Westbrook. So I know that there's going to have to be some kind of movement there. And that's definitely a team I'm watching. Overall, I'm watching a lot of these other teams that are just fighting. And a lot of the teams, such as the Blazers, they made the move to potentially kind of take a step back this year. What does Boston do? What do those teams who can be good, but they're not good? And so there's a lot of teams I'm looking at what they're going to do. But I think overall, the main team I'm looking at is going to be the Lakers.
Cody, do you agree on the Lakers or another team that you're interested by that could make a move to kind of solidify their roster?
Really interested to see what the Philadelphia 76ers, if they try to do anything with Ben Simmons at all.
Okay.
I've heard some rumors about a splashy trade to Brooklyn, but nothing confirmed.
You're really trying to work in some Simmons talk tonight. You really want to talk about it.
I don't really want to talk about it. I just like
let him talk.
I do think that's the most interesting thing at the trade deadline, because like Philadelphia could really use someone like just in that roster spot that would contribute anything to the team. So
yeah, anything like, than not playing.
Yeah, anything other than what you and I contribute to the Philadelphia 76ers would be fantastic. So that's why I think that's the most interesting one, because I think there's the most to be gained from Philadelphia figuring something out there, because like they've been kind of knocking on the door of being like a, you know, favorite in the East for a while. Like they've been good. Then last year they Kawhi rips their heart out. Then they have, you know, the year where they lost the Celtics the year after that, right?
Yes, I believe so. I can't remember. No, the Buck?
No, it was a bubble. The year after that was the bubble, right?
Yeah, I can't remember who they played.
Yeah, anyway. They have some playoff success. They're kind of like right there. They're knocking on the door. And then like now we're at this year. Ben Simmons.
The Heat. Was it the Heat?
Yeah, I think it was.
Knocked him out. Yeah.
Sorry. So then Ben Simmons, you know, has that playoff series he has last year. Phil or Doc Rivers and Joel say what they say. He doesn't come back to play. Daryl is trying to get like a rock star player back, like a max contract player back for him. Like that's not going well. Like there's all this stuff going on around like the 76ers. And it's like, hey, Joel Embiid is like 400 pounds and is like 8 feet tall. Like he has there's a shelf life on how long he can like just throw the team on his shoulders before they start to inevitably break down because like, you know, his organs aren't going to work for as long because he's so big. Like there's a lot of stress on that body. Like you only have so much time. So just, I feel like that, like there, I feel like with all, you know, we kind of talk about windows for teams and it's like that, like, you know, 3 to 5 year kind of window for teams to really win. You know, if you have a title chance, that's when you got to strike. And I just think it's like, it's kind of like, you know, shit or get off the pot for the 76ers at this point. Like how long are we going to be talking about? Like, you know, Joel Embiid and like he need, you know, we got to get, he's got to get some help. And like they have some really like feisty young guys, but like, you know, is Tobias Harris, like, is that who you're going to war with in a 7-game series in the finals?
Yeah. I mean, all reports have been, it's basically the, it feels like there's been a couple moves that have been there that the other teams just aren't committing to. There seems to be a lock in place Kings trade for Tyrese Halliburton and De'Aaron Fox that's reported. The obvious one is CJ McCollum from the Blazers, and it's just, it feels like there's stuff there. The other team is just the one that's just on the fence.
But it just,
They've also said they're going to try to include Tobias Harris and whatever the move they do, like, good luck. Like, is this going to be a 5-team mega trade? Like, it doesn't seem like there's one team out there that could take both. Both of those.
What if they just end up with Russ?
Ugh, God, I can't do it. All right. That's enough talking about Ben Simmons and the 76ers. That was more than what I wanted to actually, but it counts because it's trade deadline. So everybody's going to get excited about that. Obviously we are. So hopefully it's an exciting week. It would be really interesting to see teams who are kind of on the outside or maybe right in the middle, feeling like they need one or two things to try to consolidate, to make a real push. And then you can have the opposite end, teams just completely blowing it up. Let's just pack it in. Let's go for Paolo. Let's go for Banchero or Chet or, you know, Jabari Smith. So it'll be interesting to see how teams go. Talking about younger players on the rise, this is the part of All-Star Weekend we are going to talk about. And that's the Rising Stars Challenge, because they changed it this year. Thank God. And I could not be more excited about this. They basically got all the Rising Star players and 4 G League players, and they drafted them into 4 separate teams. And they're going to play a mini tournament, which I could not be more excited about. Now, I know everybody's made fun of the mid-season tournament where you win $1 million each, all that kind of crap. This is All-Star Weekend, Rising Stars. Usually that game is a joke and is dominated. I can't remember who dominates usually. Yeah, the sophomores usually destroyed the rookies, and then it went to USA versus the world. And I can't remember who used to dominate that one as well, but this is a lot more fun. So this is the challenge part that we were talking about at the beginning of the episode, where a monetary valued gift will be received by the winner. So there is a chance here that no one is going to win anything, because there's 3 of us and there's 4 teams. So it's very simple. We're not actually... Sad. That shows our acumen of not being able to pick talent if we can't pick, you know, a 75% chance.
We should have had a guest on the podcast.
Yeah, maybe I'll ask.
Jesus.
Take the wheel. So we're not actually going to draft our own rosters. We're going to pick from the existing rosters that were drafted. So the coaches.
So we're drafting this challenge, a coach, right?
You're drafting a coach and his team that is currently constructed. Yes. So the coaches, you have Rick Barry, noted prick, Gary Payton, the glove, Isaiah Thomas, whatever you want to feel about Isaiah, and then James Worthy's team. So I gave you guys a heads up to be looking through these teams to see
I just want to revisit the introductions. You have Rick Barry, noted prick, which, like, of course. You have Gary Payton, the glove. Then... who was next?
Isaiah Thomas.
You have Isaiah Thomas, which, like,
drafted Eddie Curry or whatever it was.
You just said,
No, he didn't draft Eddie Curry. Him,
Enigma. And then you and then you said, and then you have James Worthy's team.
North Carolina Tar Heel, James Worthy.
James and the gang.
and Isaiah Thomas, a short king. No,
about James Worthy. Isaiah Thomas, you're like kind of
short
like,
king.
Your
short
hand king. Reading.
Bad Boys.
The only person you actually said anything about was really Rick Barry.
I met the criteria. I was just not selected. That's my Isaiah Thomas. Anytime I think of Isaiah, I think of that. So Daniel's going to get to go first. We're going to let him. He gets to pick from all four teams. I don't know if I'll do a rundown of each team. Maybe after you select, we'll kind of see how this goes. I don't want this to take forever. But if you don't know about the Rising Stars Challenge, the first round games, quote unquote, is the first team to make to score 50. So it's a race to 50 points. And this is all in commemoration of the 75th anniversary. The first round will be the first team to 50 wins. Championship round will be the first team to 25. There is also a weird, like, challenge in between the first round, the second round, the clutch challenge, which actually does kind of sound interesting. But it's basically a time shooting competition. There's four teams of two players, and they shoot from five iconic playoff shot spots. So I guess we could assume what those shots are. I would assume one's Kawhi's. I would assume another one is Kobe's against the Suns. I'd be interested to see what the five shots are.
They're but out there.
That does actually – oh, are they? I didn't see that they were – yeah, I missed that.
I think there's a Reggie Miller one. There's also a who's the other three-point guy out of UConn?
Ray Allen.
I think there's a Ray Allen one.
So there's going to be two corner three shots?
No.
For Kawhi and Ray Allen.
I think Ray Allen is I think Reggie Miller's one on the wing or something.
Okay. Okay. I totally missed that. I was trying to search for that and I guess I just missed it, but that's okay. We don't focus on that. But it is an interesting playoff format. Now the pressure's on, Daniel. You've got your chance of all four teams. Whose team are you taking to be your horse to win you? Oh, should I tell the prize? We have agreed on what the prize is. That's $50 from each of us, from the two losers to the winner. So that's a crisp $100, a Benjamin Franklin to the winner if they select the correct team. And if all three of us get it wrong and it's the fourth team, we'll donate it to charity.
Good idea. I was going to ask that.
So, Daniel, who are you taking? You got your music? Yep. Okay. Should have known he'd have draft music queued up.
Excuse me, sir. This is my time, not yours. I'm going to draft a team that has a little bit of everything. They are good defensively. They are big, and they can shoot. Plus, there's a lot of Memphis on this team. So I'm going with Team Isaiah Thomas.
You somehow got really loud in my ear all of a sudden.
You're welcome.
So Team Isaiah, Precious Achiuwa, Desmond Bane, Sadiq Bey, Anthony Edwards, Tyrese Halliburton, Jaden Hardy is the G League Ignite player, and Isaiah Stewart. That is a solid team. That is pretty much sophomores and a G League player.
Exactly.
That's a really strong horse to start this. So that was going to be my pick if you weren't going to take them. Mine but too. Now, Cody, it comes to you, Cody. Who were you taking?
Give me Team Barry.
Whoa.
Team Barry.
Let me tell you why.
Cody.
Let me tell you why.
Notorious fan of pricks.
Yeah, big prick guy.
As a fellow prick. as an asshole myself. I would like to say, no, what I was thinking is I'm looking at these coach names. You know, you got Isaiah Thomas, you got Rick Barry, you got or the people that are left. Daniel's going to win. But of the teams that are left with Peyton Worthy and Rick Barry, Rick Barry is going to actually coach that team.
You think so?
Yeah.
We see.
You think telling those guys what they need to do better is something that Rick Barry's not going to be excited about?
All right, so here's Team Barry. Kate Cunningham, Dyson Daniels, that's the G League Ignite player. Evan Mobley, front runner for Rookie of the Year. Isaac Okoro, Alperen Şengün, Jayson Tate, and Franz Wagner.
We're going far.
Are you going to break the 20-point mark?
Nope. Neither is the other. We're long.
And we're strong. We're going to get it on.
Yep.
Cody's famous 2-on-1. Well, the reason that leads it to me, I have a choice between Team Peyton and Team Worthy. And the reason I was so nice to Mr. James Worthy is because I figured he would be a guy that I could still select at the end here. I'm taking Team Worthy, baby.
Whoa.
James Worthy. Cole Anthony, Marjon Beauchamp, G League player, Josh Giddey, Jalen Green, Herbert Jones, Tyrese Maxey, Jalen Suggs. I basically just have to cross my fingers and hope Jalen Green is shooting above 22% from the field.
That's gonna be tough.
But besides that, give me all of Tyrese Maxey and Cole Anthony just heating up and Herbert Jones doing absolutely everything on defense. So I want a team that I think is going to actually try. And Team Peyton, which I'll go ahead and give you a team for that, the team that's not selected, which could be getting a charity of our selection. What should we say? Salvation Army? Sure. So Salvation Army gets Gary Payton.
That's fine. I'm cool with those guys.
That's LaMelo Ball, Scotty Barnes, Ayo Dosunmu, Chris Duarte, Scoot Henderson, G League player, Jaden McDaniels, and Davion Mitchell. And I just, between those two teams, I think the Team Worthy is going to care more. And all these things, like, it's about kids that care. And I think Tyrese Maxey and Cole Anthony are absolutely going to care. And so is Herbert Jones. So give me Team Worthy. All right. So here it is for a crisp $100 bill. Daniel's got Team Isaiah. Cody's got Team Barry.
I live Why Barry. Is it so funny?
Because of the coaching acumen of Rick Barry. And they're going to win the Rising Stars Challenge.
He's a better coach.
The coaching acumen and gonna be drawing up ATOs and running full court press, playing.
What is happening?
You wait. You wait till you see Rick Barry play a boxing one.
I do know that they will not miss a free throw, so that could be crucial.
Yeah,
everyone's gonna
These
be
guys are gonna be out here.
Underhand, just
if you can't
stroking.
See, if you can't see, Cody is currently doing the underhand free throw motion, but you can only see like a quarter of him, so it looks suggestive. But I do know after this that Alperen Şengün is definitely shooting underhand free throws for his career after this weekend. And then the Salvation Army gets Team Peyton. Poor Salvation Army.
Are there gonna be refs, or is it like call your own fouls?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's actual ref game.
What are we talking about? This is the NBA. Like, are we trying?
I think it would be more fun to watch them play a game. I actually think the All-Star game, this is a hot take. I think the All-Star game would be exponentially more interesting if the All-Star game was call your own fouls. And like just no refs, and it was just the All-Stars out there, and they're just playing like a pickup game. A, I think it would be more competitive. And B, I just think that it would be really hilarious for James Harden and Trae Young to try to call a foul and all and watch LeBron just bitch them out for 10 minutes.
That's exactly what I was gonna say. Is like, so Trae Young's gonna foul out everyone on the opposing team. 100%. Yeah. Okay, so that's the Rising Stars Challenge. I'm very, very
beat up.
I think it has the potential to be one of the highlights of All-Star Weekend, which we'll talk more about next week. But that's it for me for this episode, gentlemen. Do you have anything else before we wrap up for this week?
Yeah, I want to read off the spots for the clutch. Was it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Clutch
you found
something?
It.
Yeah, clutch challenge.
And the teams. I probably should have mentioned the teams, but once I saw this Tyrese Haliburton and Desmond Bain together and I saw the other teams, I was like, okay, that's it. It's over. Like, there's nobody else that's winning that.
They have a really good chance. We might go for the sweep in this one, but it is a Magic Johnson baby hook from above the dotted lines area. If you're wanting to set a charge, whatever it's called.
Restricted area.
Yeah, the restricted area. Thank you. and then Charles Barkley, top of the key.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I remember him like hitting, but that's not, I guess that's iconic. Well, whatever. You know, throw him back. Damian Lillard from the logo.
Okay.
So Dame time. And then Reggie Miller from the wing. So just out wing. And then a little bit farther down is the Ray Allen right corner three.
Wow. So Kawhi shot's not even considered it. So it's stuff that was in the finals.
Ray Allen shot, isn't it?
Well, these are just iconic shots, like pretty much the shot that these guys do the most. And if you think of Magic Johnson, you always see the clip of him doing that little baby hook by the restricted area. Charles Barkley, that's where he was, you know, that was his honey hole. Dame, he kind of was the main one who started with them from the logo. Reggie was, he was lethal out there on that the side, almost toward the corner a little bit, but right there. Ray Allen, he was a, you know, shooting daggers from the corner three. So I don't think it's just a one-shot deal. I think it's more of where these guys made their living from is these set spots.
Okay, because that's how I read, like to me, how I read it, that it was like an iconic like playoff shot, right. You know, and that was from that spot. But yep. Okay, that makes more sense. So I guess they're trying to be it more quote unquote horse style. I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyways, Cody, anything before you go?
Nothing.
Then plug something for us. Give us a plug. What you got going
on? Basketball, man. The podcast on the Lead Podcast Sports Network.
You got doing big things.
Big things. Yeah,
big stuff's going on. You got Daniel Greer, Grizz 901, moving and shaking over there. This guy's on fire. So check it out.
Creating followers, content stealers.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's creating followers, because that implies that it's like a Kevin Durant, you know, kind of burn situation. But he's definitely gaining followers. Gaining's
a good one.
You know, followers are great, subscriptions are better. So rate, like, and subscribe. Tell your friends, tell your wife, you know, tell your kids, tell your husband, tell your mother, tell your brother, tell your friends, tell your sisters, tell your grandma.
There you go. Daniel, anything to plug?
Just check out our Grizz 901. We're going to have a trade special episode Monday coming out. So when you're hearing this, we have a Grizzlies edition of trades coming. And we're just going to do pretty much, I've scoured all of Twitter, all of Grizz Twitter, and I found all the trades that are out there. And I'm going to hit the guys and kind of see if they like them or they don't like them at all, and see if there's anything that they would actually pull the trigger on if they were the GM. And so a little fun thing we're going to do, but that's about it. I'm trying to get some big names before the All-Star break. So stay tuned. I could have
get Jesus Christ on the pod. Jesus.
Yes. Yeah. I've talked to him, but I don't know if he can come in person or do a podcast.
Oh, wow. Very inspiring. But no, if you have not been listening, Daniel Grizz 901, he has had a cavalcade, landslide of big time guests. So it's a lot of fun over there. Check us out on that. Thanks for tuning in for this episode. I know it was a longer one, but we had a lot of fun. Hope you enjoyed the argument. We will be back, hopefully all three, next week. Talk about some All-Star, maybe get some interesting trade deadline stuff going. So hopefully it'll be a fun week for us NBA fans. Everyone have a good week. We'll see you next Monday.